And now it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Former Republican congressional staffer Sophia Nelson confessed to mixed feelings on election night. As an African-American, she was deeply moved by President-elect Barack Obama's historic victory, but upset that her own political party had just suffered a devastating loss. A party established to oppose the expansion of slavery had just seen 96% of African-Americans vote for the Democrat, including her. She wrote about her experience in an op-ed published in the Washington Post last month called It's My Party, But I Don't Feel Part of It. And Sophia Nelson joins us here in Studio 3A. You can get a look at her op-ed and comment on it at our website. That's at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. And we'd like to hear from other Black Republicans today. Is that difficult? Sometimes embarrassing? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And Sophia Nelson, nice of you to be with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And I use that word embarrassing because you used it in your piece to describe the scarcity of people of color at the Republican National Convention.
It is embarrassing, and in light of this latest controversy that is coming to bear here with Chip Saltzman running for RNC chairman and having the CD Puff the Magic Negro, Obama the Magic Negro, it continues to spiral out of control. I just think that a good majority of the leadership of the Republican Party right now, national level and even at the state levels, are out of touch. They don't see and don't understand what happened on election night. And the trend was moving in that direction, but they just don't get it. They're disconnected.
We'll follow up on that in a moment. What's this? Tell us a little bit more about Obama, the Magic Negro.
Are you out of the loop on this?
Well, I'm read in, but perhaps some of our listeners might not be.
Well, in essence, this started, I think, about a little less than a year ago. Rush Limbaugh had some parody on there. Someone, you know, the Peter Paul Mary song, Puff the Magic Dragon. And someone did Puff the Magic Negro and called it Obama the Magic Negro. And so since that time, Rush Limbaugh has been referring to Obama as Obama the Magic Negro, which I find highly offensive. I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh regularly, but the few times that I've heard clips from it. And a big controversy erupted, and then it kind of died down when Rush said it was posted in the LA Times by a liberal commentator, I guess not in the same context, clearly. And then Chip Saltzman, who was Mike Huckabee's campaign chairman, is running for chairman of the RNC.
Republican National Committee.
Yes, and he's running for the chairman spot, and sent out goodie bags, you know, kind of to win delegates. And in that goodie bag, there was a CD that had different things, and it had this song on there that Obama the Magic Negro. So, yeah, the controversy started all over again. And then you had Ken Blackwell, who's one of the few Black high-profile Republicans in the GOP, defending him. And Michael Steele was being wishy-washy, in my opinion, and both good friends, but disappointed in both. And I took a whack at him on my blog, and some others have as well. It has to stop.
As it suggests, this shows insensitivity. You know, satire is satire, but it's one thing for a satirist to do. It's another thing for the a candidate for the RNC to distribute it.
Look, we all have a sense of humor. President-elect Obama has a sense of humor, but there's a line now. He is the new president-elect of the United States. He's going to take office here shortly, and I don't think it's good for the other major political party who would be chairman hurling about things like that, and particularly making light of it. Negro is a term that was used when my grandparents were coming up, and it was a degrading term. We went from colored, you know, to Negro, to Black, to, you know, we've had all these, originations that have gone now to African-American. And, I just think that it's insensitive. It's rude.
And this comes after an election in which you said the McCain campaign virtually conceded the Black vote.
Well, look, any one of us who are political observers for any long period of time know that Barack Obama was going to do exceptionally well with the Black vote. The Democrats get 90 to 91%. Both Gore and Kerry got 90 to 91%, which is bad, and that for us. And then, with Obama's historic candidacy, you knew more African Americans were going to drive in that direction. I'm one of them, and I didn't vote for him because he's African American. I actually, while I don't agree with probably 50% of what Barack Obama's for, I was more impressed with him as a candidate, as a motivator, as a leader, and that's why I decided to vote for him.
And you would then have some in the Republican Party saying you and General Powell are not real Republicans and maybe ought to make way for those who are.
Well, as I pointed out in my article, and you know that all articles are edited and cut down, and I didn't choose the title, It's My Party, I Don't Feel Part of It. I would have chosen another title, but it was okay. Look, if they go back to the history of the GOP, people like Colin Powell and myself are much more Republican than are this new conservative bunch. I believe that the GOP is big enough to have conservatives in it. The problem is conservatives don't feel that way about moderates like me and others. They want it to be a conservative party, and it's not a conservative party, and it shouldn't be. It can have a conservative constituency in it as a moderate, a liberal, libertarian, as does the Democrat Party. But the conservatives have taken the GOP and run it into the ground. They've made it about social issues, which it shouldn't be about. If you're a true libertarian, a true Republican, a Republican form of government, you're for limited government, which means you would be pro-choice naturally because you wouldn't want government telling a woman what to do with their body. I could go down the litany, but I won't go down that path. These people are a bit confused about the party they're affiliated with, frankly. I'm talking about conservatives. And again, I welcome conservatives in the party, but I don't want to be a part of a Republican party that has only cares about abortion, guns, and gay people not being married. That's you got to do better than that. You know, I think that's going to make it a very narrow, very regional party as it's becoming.
We know you're a Republican when you call it the Democrat Party. That's a term that many Democrats find offensive. So.
I know. It's the Democratic Party. I apologize.
That's all right. Don't worry about that. As you look at the party, though, at least for the time being, the struggle for the soul of the party, everybody predicted it would begin, no matter who won, on November 5th. Which way do you think it's going?
More conservative. Everything I've heard indicates to me, and who I see running for RNC chairman, and just this whole episode says to me that it's, look, the base is still in the South, so it's going to be more conservative. You know, if you look at what was left of the map, McCain lost Indiana and Virginia, those, but they were narrow, I still call them purple states.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a fight that's largely based where the constituency is, which is Southern whites and Southern white males largely. 57% of white Americans voted against Barack for president, and that's a fact. 43% voted for him. So, we still have, more to do, further to go.
Our guest is Sophia Nelson, a former Republican congressional staffer and sometimes a counsel, a lawyer and editor at politicalinterestsection.com?
Politicalintersectionblog.com.
If I could read, I'd be dangerous, but then I wouldn't have to do radio. Let's get some listeners in on the conversation. We want to hear from African-American Republicans today. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. John joins us on the line from Stratford in New Jersey.
Yes, hi. I consider myself a centrist and perhaps a little conservative, but I find it extremely awkward that even if you're not pro-Obama, but you're African-American, that's extremely awkward. I happen to work around mostly Caucasians. And so my counterparts who and my colleagues who were happy that Obama was elected, they all celebrated it and would come to me and say, hey, you know, and they would be ready to high-five. And I wasn't necessarily pro-Obama, actually. I mean, when I considered him closely, it was mostly ideology. It wasn't his color. And we didn't really have a lot of discussion on ideology. It was mostly just assumed that I would be for him. And so I always found that very unnerving and actually a little annoying because we never got beyond color. We never got beyond ideology and soft stuff.
So the assumption, since you look like an African-American, you must have been with the 96% who voted for Obama.
Let me say
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, not only was it awkward, but we really couldn't even talk about it because the assumption,
mm-hmm.
it's so heavily, the opinion is that, oh, you know, he's African-American, he's clearly Obama, and even come up and celebrate and almost hug me, you know, and high five.
Sophia Nelson?
John, first of all, did you say Stratford, New Jersey?
Yes.
I grew up in Somerdale, New Jersey, and went to Sterling High School, so that's amazing. That's down the street from where I grew up.
Down the street.
Yeah, long before, it sounds like you're younger. But at any rate, you're absolutely right. There was a lot of pressure, frankly, and talk to Armstrong Williams, any of the black conservatives, if you will, it will all tell you they struggled with who to vote for. I am convinced Secretary Rice must have voted for Barack Obama. I don't have that inside info, but every time you see her talking about him, she's smiling and she's really happy and saying how positive is. And I think a lot of African Americans were very conflicted. So, like you, when Sarah Palin came on the scene, I was very positive about her at first. A young woman, age cohort of mine, a few years older, but someone I certainly admired and thought well of. And I took a lot of heat from African Americans about that. How could you like her? She's dumb. You know, just it was And there was a lot of pressure to be for Obama as an African-American during this election cycle. But I'd like to think, you know, that I made the decision for the right reasons. I just couldn't pull the lever for McCain Palin at the end of the day after some of what I saw go on. So I hear you.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, John. Thanks very much. Let's go now to Mark. And Mark is calling us from Birmingham, Alabama.
Hey, Neil. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Good. Question for the guest. I hear a point about the Republican Party as being a party of values and not necessarily about policy positions. I think this has been the case for the past 8 years. I'm curious as to what she would have the party do going forward. It seems to me that, you know, the train has kind of left the station in terms of a lot of the points that she's making. I'm curious as to what her advice to the party would be going forward.
Well, thank you for your call. I think I outlined it very succinctly, I hope, and clearly in the article where I talked about some of the things I think we ought to be doing. But the quick answer to your question is we have to refocus on policy and issues that matter to the people. We've got an economic crisis going on. Look at the foreign policy front. Look at Israel and the Gaza Strip. Look at what's going on over there. It's bad. And we have a world that's kind of in chaos. We have an American economy that's in free fall. We have people losing jobs and record employment. The Christmas season was not what retailers hoped it would be. So those seem to me to be pocketbook issues that Republicans ought to do well on: less taxes, less regulation, less government intervention. You know, a Republican president basically nationalized Wall Street. I still think I'm in shock over it. I don't believe it happened on George Bush's watch, and bailed out automakers to a degree. So I think the Republicans have to get their footing back on the issues, and that's what I would say will carry them forward. But they've got to stop with this racial. These overtones and undertones are just killing the GOP. And they need to get people like Jack Kemp again. Yeah, he's an older guy, been around a long time, but I got a nice email from him when I wrote the op-ed. I've known him for years, and, you know, we talked a little bit about how we feel about what's happening. People like that need to get back as the face of the GOP, I think, for to help it get back on track.
Okay, thanks very much, Neil.
Thanks very much, Mark. We're talking with Sophia Nelson on the Opinion Page today. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's talk with Sean. Sean with us from Lighthouse Point in Florida.
Hi, thank you. This is the first time I'm a registered Republican.
Yes.
However, this is the first time I voted for a Democrat. And the only reason the Republican Party at this go-round didn't even want my vote. What made it worse, when McCain picked Palin, it was obvious that, you know, they didn't want me. They didn't want us part of the tent, you know.
I'm sorry, Sean, you still there?
Yes, I am. It's just frustrating.
I can hear that, and I think Sophia Nelson, you said you were reading coded messages from in some of the advertisements.
Yes, some of them were coded, some of them weren't. Like I said, some of the things I wrote got edited out, but I talk about it on the blog a lot. And being a black Republican, I've been one since 1988. It was George Herbert Walker Bush, as I mentioned, that first got my vote. It was the first president I could vote for in college, and I thought he was a moderate. I think he tried to be a conservative and didn't do very well with it because it's not his true form. And I've just watched the party evolve into something that has just been hard to take, to be frank. I hear the caller, and I agree.
And, Sean, when you say they didn't even want your vote, what do you mean by that? How did they tell you that?
Let me put it in two ways. I went to school in Jersey, and a guy like Thomas Kane, who was the governor of New Jersey, a Republican, literally, you know, courted the minority vote.
Or my mentor, Christy Whitman.
Right. And the second comment about that, Colin Powell crystallized the frustration with African Americans with the Republican Party. The message got narrower and narrower, and it was not inclusive.
But it's not just, I want to add a point, that it's not just blacks, it's also other people of color, it's women, it's younger people. We lost maybe a generation, and if Obama's as good as I think he is, I think he's Ronald Reagan in an interesting way. He's not the same political policy positions, but he's got the same gifts. And I think go ahead.
And you know what? He's proven so far that he is the next Ronald Reagan. With
yes.
his appointments,
yep.
his reaching out efforts
I agree.
To everybody.
Mm. I agree.
He's a good candidate.
Sean, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Let's see if we get one last caller in. Let's go to Cleve. Cleve with us from North Augustus in South Carolina.
Yes, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Yes, I'm calling in as a black Republican, but I'm also a conservative on social issues. And I just disagree with the idea that the Republican needs to become some type of broader tent, or sort of a Democrat light type of situation. I think the Republicans lose any time we put a candidate who is a moderate on the ticket, like McCain was, and it doesn't have a rallying cry for the vast majority of Republicans who are conservative. As a black man, I'm conservative anyway. I think most polls show that blacks traditionally are more conservative on the issues. They may identify with the Democratic Party, but their values are very traditional. That's why, like in California, the additional blacks who registered to vote voted for Proposition 8, I believe, because they were traditional in values, even though they were Democrats.
That, of course, was the gay marriage ban.
Right. And I disagree with the speaker, with Cynthia, that the direction we need to go is to be so-called broader. I think we need to be clearer in our focus, and I think traditionally our focus, which, by the way, Ronald Reagan was very conservative, gives a greater rallying cry for those of us who are conservative, whether we're black, Mexican, or whatever.
Sophia Nelson, you got 45 seconds.
Well, clearly I respect the caller's point of view, but he's just wrong. If the party continues to go in the direction it's going in, it's going to become a regional party relegated to minority status in leadership and in national elections for a long time to come. The country is browning. By 2020 and 2025, it's going to be majority people. It's already close to majority people of color, but it will be majority people of color in the next 10 years or so. And you cannot win elections, national elections, with a myopic message that focuses on abortion, guns, and gay marriage. I'm conservative, too. I may agree with him probably on most of those issues, but I don't think they belong in our politics.
Cleve, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So long. And Sophia Nelson, thank you for being on the Opinion Page this week.
Thank you for having me.
Sophia Nelson is a lawyer and the editor of PoliticalIntersectionBlog.com. Got it right that time, as well as a former Republican congressional staffer. She joined us here in Studio 3A. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, Bob Woodward on the Bush legacy. Join us. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.